Good day and welcome to the Sol Strategies, Inc. Fiscal 3Q 2025 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's prepared remarks, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. In order to ask a question or make a comment, please press the star key followed by the number 1 on your touchtone phone. On the call are Leah Wald, Chief Executive Officer, Doug Harris, Chief Financial Officer, Max Kaplan, Chief Technology Officer, and John Regazzino with ICR. At this time, it's now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to John Regazzino with ICR. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining the Sol Strategies Fiscal Third Quarter 2025 Earnings Call. Today's discussion, based on information as of August 26, 2025, will include forward-looking statements subject to risks, uncertainties, and market volatility. Actual results may differ materially from these statements due to factors beyond our control. We'd like to refer you to our latest press release, reports, and SEDAR Plus filings available on our website and through our SEDAR Plus profile for detailed risk disclosures and assumptions, including that no significant events outside the normal course of business. Please note that past performance and current trends in the digital asset sector may not continue, and listeners should not place undue reliance upon them. The company does not undertake to update forward-looking statements except as required by law. This call will also reference unaudited performance metrics for the quarter ended June 30th, 2025, as outlined in today's press release. Unless otherwise noted, all dollar amounts are in Canadian dollars. Leah will review our progress towards our strategic objectives in the digital asset sector. Max will then provide an update on our operations and technology, and Doug will discuss our quarterly financial results before we open the floor with questions. With that, let me turn the call over to Leah.
Thank you, John, and good afternoon, everybody. This has been another transformative quarter for Sol Strategies. As I look across the digital asset landscape, it's increasingly clear that fiscal 2025 marks a true inflection point, not only for our company, but for the broader institutional adoption of blockchain infrastructure. We're operating against the backdrop of meaningful regulatory progress. The Genius Act, advancing in Congress, and the SEC's Project Crypto initiative are providing the clarity and consistency that public companies have long needed to participate more fully in digital assets. This isn't just incremental progress, it's laying the foundation for how digital assets will be integrated into the global financial system over the coming decade. The pace of adoption has been remarkable. Year-to-date, digital asset treasury, or DAT, companies have raised over $39 billion. Today, there are more than 290 publicly traded companies that are deploying digital assets on their balance sheets, representing over $100 billion in aggregate allocation. For public investors, DAT companies offer something unique: SEC-compliant, liquid, and efficient vehicles to gain crypto exposure through equity markets. But with rapid adoption comes market saturation, and not all DAT models are created equal. The market is coalescing into three distinct categories, and understanding this evolution is critical to our positioning. First, non-yield-generating treasuries, predominantly Bitcoin companies whose growth depends almost entirely on external capital raises and financial engineering. They provide simple exposure, but without organic compounding. Second, yield-generating treasuries built on proof-of-stake-based tokens such as Ethereum or Solana, earning about 8% annually through staking. These are more capital-efficient than Bitcoin-only models, but remain constrained by staking yield limits. Third, Sol Strategies represents what we call DAT++, pairing organic staking yield with infrastructure-driven validator revenues. This dual engine allows us to compound treasury holdings at nearly double the rate of peers while contributing meaningfully to network security and decentralization. Let me be specific about what this means. While staking-only companies are able to grow their treasury by about 8% annually, our strategy compounds at roughly 16% on an organic basis. That difference may appear incremental in a single year, but compounded over multiple years, it creates a step change in scale, efficiency, and shareholder value. Our operational metrics this quarter demonstrate the strength of our execution. We surpassed $1 billion in delegated SOL with almost 7,000 unique wallets staking to our validators, reflecting growing trust from both institutional and retail delegators. We maintained perfect 100% uptime on our core Lane validator and delivered APYs consistently exceeding network averages. On the capital markets front, we continue advancing on our U.S. listing strategy with strong progress towards NASDAQ uplisting. We completed the required stock consolidation, and our recently filed shelf registration provides us with the flexibility to raise capital opportunistically when market conditions and our valuation create accretive opportunities. Importantly, this capital is not required to fund operations. Our business is self-sustaining through validator revenues and staking yields, but it does provide optionality to expand our SOL treasury and accelerate growth when the right opportunities arise. We've built strategic partnerships that validate our position as institutional-grade infrastructure. Industry leaders, including BitGo, Tetra Trust, Neptune, Pudgy Penguins, and Solana Mobile, have selected SOL Strategies as their trusted partner. Most recently, we're proud to welcome ARK Invest as our staking provider for their Digital Asset Revolutions Fund. These partnerships aren't just business relationships. They represent our deep integration into both the financial mainstream and the Solana ecosystem. We've also launched a public-facing Dune Analytics dashboard that provides real-time on-chain visibility into our validator revenue and treasury performance. This level of transparency reflects our commitment to building trust and holding ourselves accountable to both investors and the broader community. The distinction is critical in an increasingly crowded market. We're not simply a treasury vehicle providing exposure to Solana's price movement. We're simultaneously a significant treasury holder and a critical infrastructure provider to the Solana ecosystem itself. The dual role strengthens our credibility with institutional delegators, creates reoccurring high-margin revenues, and ensures we're directly contributing to the resilience and decentralization of the network. In doing so, we become not just the beneficiaries of Solana's growth, but the builders of it. As we move forward, our vision remains clear: to establish SOL Strategies as the premier institutional-grade Solana infrastructure platform. Through our DAT++ model, validator leadership, and strategic partnerships, we're building what we believe will be one of the most efficient and durable value creation engines in the digital asset sector. 2025 is proving to be the year where differentiation in digital asset treasuries truly matters. We're confident our strategy positions us not just to participate in the growth of institutional blockchain adoption, but to help lead it. Now, let me turn it over to our CTO, Max, to discuss the technical infrastructure that makes this all possible and where the industry is heading.
Thanks, Liam. Let me start with what matters, performance. This quarter, our Orangefin validator consistently ranked in the top three validators on the entire network in terms of APY. Our returns to stakers far exceeded any major players in the space, including names such as Coinbase, Kraken, Binance, and more. Our biggest validator by stake, Lane, continued its streak of 100% uptime for over 1 year now. With our high yields, consistent uptime, brand recognition, and compliance framework, it's for these reasons we crossed over 1 billion CAD in delegated SOL this quarter, with over 7,000 unique wallets trusting us with their assets. That's not luck. That's good old-fashioned execution paying off. Our goal on the staking side of the business is really simple: offer the best product with the lowest cost for our clients. Many businesses out there charge extremely high commissions in the name of compliance reporting and business development. With automation and strong brand recognition, we are able to charge lower commissions and offer our customers a better product at a lower cost. This is the model we are using to continue to grow our staking business, which is continuing to grow and picking up bigger and bigger clients. One of the areas of our business we are extremely excited about is the growth of one of our new verticals, white label validators. This quarter, we onboarded Solana Mobile as a new client for our white label validator business. The Solana Mobile validator is the default validator for Solana Mobile's new phone, the Seeker. The Seeker, which just began to ship a few weeks ago, had over 150,000 pre-orders, one of the most impressive launches in history for any phone. In just under 2 weeks, the Solana Mobile validator already has over 1,500 unique wallets staking to it, an extremely impressive stat considering most devices have not even been shipped yet. We are very excited about the launch of The Seeker, which places Sol Strategies in front of 150,000 potential customers through the Solana Mobile Validator we operate and share in the revenue from. Additionally, I want to talk about some efforts we completed this quarter to help the Solana network overall. This quarter, we open sourced a tool we call Solana Validator Failover. This tool helps other validators on the network, ensuring high uptimes, keeping the network resilient and fast. Crypto was built on the ethos of open source technology. At Sol Strategies, we are passionate about being good stewards for the network, and we'll continue to build and launch tools that benefit all network participants. We are extremely proud of what we accomplished this quarter and excited for what we have planned for the future, but we are also excited for the upcoming technical developments coming to the Solana blockchain. Many SIMDs, Solana improvement documents, are being proposed, implemented, and shipped, which brings significant improvements to the Solana blockchain. One of the ones we are most excited for is SIMD 326, which is the first SIMD behind Alpenglow. Alpenglow is a proposal for Solana's new consensus algorithm, which could bring slot times down to around 100 milliseconds from 400 milliseconds. This opens up all new types of use cases for Solana, including more applications for trading. Speaking of exciting innovations coming to Solana, Jito, one of crypto's most successful protocols, also recently announced BAM, known as Block Auction Marketplace. Sol Strategies was picked up as an initial launch partner for BAM, which allows applications more customizability around how their users' transactions get put into blocks. I expect BAM to be a massive success for Solana. We are excited about Solana's growth and how well-positioned we are to be an important technology participant in that growth. With that, I'll pass it on to Doug.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Max. So the June quarter marked another important step in the transformation of Sol Strategies. This is the first quarter in which our results fully reflected contributions from all of our recently acquired validator operations. We saw strong top-line growth, generating just over $3 million in staking and validator income. Looking ahead, we expect continued revenue growth as we scale both our treasury and third-party delegation business, with further upside potential from any appreciation in the price of Solana. I would also like to highlight a new revenue initiative. During the quarter, we began actively managing our treasury with available financial tools to enhance yield. While income from this activity was modest at approximately $30,000 in the quarter, we see significant opportunity to grow this contribution as our treasury expands. For the 3 months ended June 30th, we reported comprehensive income of approximately $900,000, a solid result given several non-recurring expenses incurred during the period. These included $900,000 in legal fees related to our NASDAQ listing process, prospectus filings, and fundraising activities, as well as $2.4 million in transaction costs associated with the financings completed in the quarter. Excluding these one-time items, operating expenses were approximately $1.7 million, largely reflecting corporate overhead and professional service fees tied to ongoing operations. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter was $800,000. This was derived from net income before taxes, adjusted to exclude $4 million of amortization from validator acquisitions, $2.4 million of non-recurring transaction costs, and $1.8 million of stock-based compensation. We provide this measure to give greater clarity in underlying operating performance by excluding significant non-cash and non-recurring items. At the same time, we continue to emphasize comprehensive income as our primary profitability metric, in line with U.S. GAAP peers following the late 2024 update on cryptocurrency valuation treatment. Turning to the balance sheet, our Solana treasury increased significantly over the quarter, ending at just over $90 million compared to $48 million last quarter. Total assets rose to $164 million from $125 million at March 31st, primarily reflecting the increase in Solana holdings at that time. Liabilities grew to $62 million from $40 million in March, mainly due to the increase in convertible debentures. Overall, we continue to strengthen our balance sheet, expand our validator and staking revenues, and grow our EBITDA base. We are excited by the opportunities our treasury and validator assets create for us as the Solana ecosystem continues to expand. With that, I'll turn it back to Leah.
Thank you, Doug. As we step back and reflect on the quarter, the story is clear. Sol Strategies is executing across all fronts, We're strengthening our competitive moat as the premier Solana-focused DAT++ company by delivering faster organic treasury growth than peers, expanding validator revenues through third-party delegation, and continuing to accumulate SOL in a capital-efficient manner. Our uplisting progress and shelf registration are enhancing visibility and providing flexibility to scale with institutional demand. And our partnerships with leading institutions, custodians, and consumer platforms demonstrate the trust that we've built in the market. What excites me most, however, is the road ahead. We are not just building a treasury vehicle. We are establishing an institutional-grade Solana infrastructure platform at the center of blockchain adoption. Solana has emerged as the leading layer one for high throughput, low cost applications, and its importance will only grow as tokenized real world assets, payments, and new financial rails take hold globally. Looking forward, our vision is clear: to make SOL Strategies synonymous with institutional grade digital asset infrastructure. Through disciplined growth, validator leadership, and targeted partnerships, we aim to create one of the most efficient and durable models for long-term value creation in the sector. Fiscal 2025 is proving to be the year where differentiation in digital asset treasuries truly matters, and we are confident that our DAT++ strategy gives us the growth engine and positioning to lead. Our business is built on the foundation of underlying yield generation, supported by technology and infrastructure we actively manage. By combining reoccurring revenues from staking and validation with investments in the core networks themselves, we are able to create durable and sustainable growth. This approach not only delivers value to our shareholders, but also strengthens the ecosystems we operate in, ensuring that the technology and infrastructure continue to evolve and support broader adoption of decentralized platforms. We're not just holding Solana, we're building it, and that's why we'll be here long after the tourists go home. With that, we'll now open the call for questions. Operator, please go ahead.
Absolutely. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, please press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Keep in mind you can remove yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the star and 2. Again, it is star and 1 if you'd like to ask a question today. And we'll take our first question from Bill Papanastasiou with KBW. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good evening, and congrats to the team on all the progress. I just have a quick question for the team here. Max, maybe you could walk us through your tech stack roadmap and what's in store for building or buying more Solana. If you could rank that based on your priorities, that'd be appreciated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll say this is that, you know, like we view the validator business as something really, really core for many reasons, right? Number one is it helps us accrue more SOL, right? And, you know, it's a real revenue generating business and, you know, listen, I'm biased, but I think we're doing a good job with it. And I think the results speak for themselves. Secondly, the important thing of validators is really this is we really believe in the Solana network as well, right? And, you know, as a validator, you know, really high level, the more transactions that happen on Solana, the more we benefit as a business because we are getting those transaction fees, right? So the reason we're running validators here is really because, you know, we love SOL, you know, we want to accrue as much SOL as possible, but, you know, we also are really, really believe in the Solana network as well. And, you know, we want a big stake in it, you know, pun not intended there. But, you know, we really want, you know, to, you know, we think so the Solana network is going to continue to grow, you know, especially with things like RWAs and all these really new exciting instruments that are coming on chain. You know, the more successful those things are going to be, the more we're going to directly benefit from that. So, you know, to answer your question, we're going to continue to focus, you know, really on validators and attracting more stake. And, you know, I think we're doing a good job this quarter because of, you know, the fact, you know, we just announced ARK as a partner and things like that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we really view it as two verticals. You know, we have the treasury side and, you know, we have the validator side, but really, you know, you could abstract that as the tech side, right? So hopefully that answers your question. Let me know if not.
Yeah, no, that was very clear. Oh, sorry, Leah.
Thanks, Bill. And No, appreciate it. And maybe I'll just cap it off. Max, I think that you covered everything. That was fantastic. Maybe I'll have fun with the buy side of the spectrum of your question. I like it. So Max is absolutely right. We've seen both that organic development, and also we are always looking for those strategic acquisitions. It's through the Orangefin acquisition that we got Max, and that was maybe the biggest asset that came through that acquisition. It's just, we've had a lot of success in the past for those acquisitions, and our appetite for M&A hasn't changed. So, we see that build and buy approach as the reason that we've created the 19th largest validator operation out of over 1,000 validators on Solana. And again, as mentioned, that billion-dollar assets under delegation that we reported tomorrow. So I guess that, what's important to take away is that we're building innovation. That's on the build side. Regarding traditional acquisitions, that's also where, from the innovation side, we're developing proprietary infrastructure. So I did want to call out, which gets a little unnoticed, that we did launch the first mobile app for native Solana staking. And that also automated validator management platforms and real-time on-chain reporting, all under Max. So kudos to you, Max. So the last takeaway, maybe just that, what is the strategic view? How do we really think about the build versus buy? We see that validator acquisition strategy does create powerful network effects. We think we're going to see a large consolidation in the DATs this year. And every major validation operation that we acquire validates, pun intended, I guess, our strategy and also brings that established institutional relationships that we're continuing to build. So we see ourselves as, watching the early stages, if you will, of a self-reinforcing cycle where validator consolidation drives operational efficiency, which drives better yield, which drives more delegation. And, that creates this virtuous loop that transforms us, hopefully, from, the startup that we were last year to where we're just starting to run to really that dominant infrastructure provider where we're trying to be.
Thank you. That was very helpful and appreciate the great color. Looking forward to seeing you guys take the lead under that DAT plus plus category. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
We'll take our next question from Brett Knoblauch with Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the question. As I look at kind of where the business is trending from both a delegated and maybe staked perspective, continued very strong growth quarter over quarter, how should we think about the pace of maybe SOL being delegated to your guys' validators? It seems like the Solana mobile app has the potential to meaningfully inflect that higher, though I would assume retail might be a bit lower on a per wallet base from the amount of SOL being staked. But generally, do you think that the trend line we're seeing now is going to continue? Do you think we see faster growth in delegated SOL, or just generally, how should we think about that trend?
Yeah, Brett, thank you so much for joining. And I'll start as a dictator over here because I like the question. And then I think I'm going to toss it to Max one more time. Definitely excited and do believe that we are in the first inning for sure on institutional involvement in this ecosystem. If you even take the advances in tokenization, I think that's a great example to look at. We haven't even launched tokenized stocks yet or seen most of the real-world asset or funds on that have expressed desire to tokenize on rails yet. A lot of these firms, including BlackRock, have mentioned their desire to launch on Solana rails. So just so much hasn't happened yet that we can't not see such an immense future of potential. And as you're aware, and everyone here, the exciting thing is it's a flywheel for our firm whereby the success of the network directly correlates to revenues for us because we are running those validators. So, we're very excited on that front. I think also something that's important to note, is that GENIUS Act that I just spoke about and the importance there. We are seeing such regulatory tailwinds. The DC impact is just incredible. All of us know that, but I think it's just starting to take off. We haven't seen the Solana SOL staked ETFs from SPOT being launched yet. We've seen REC shares, but we haven't seen the filers, the issuers, approved yet by the SEC. So that's going to be a huge catalyst as well. Those have seen over $1 billion in AUM across the Swiss SIX and other European exchanges. Very successful in Canada as well with Purpose Evolve and 3IQ. We're definitely getting there. You have Saab 121, and that unlocks the bank custody services. You had Paul Atkins dismiss 8 SEC enforcement cases. And I think the big one to note here is that crypto is now allowed in 401k accounts. And that's, a $7 trillion addressable market. So, the institutional partnerships we have with ARK, BitGo, Tetra, we all see that as having accelerated after regulatory clarity. And Max has stewarded the SOC 1, SOC 2, ISO 27001 certification. So we have worked really hard to position ourselves as a key player for institutions because most of them require those certifications. So, if we could get a portion of that retirement market, we would be very happy over here. But that's definitely something that we're going to be going after. And as we become, as NASDAQ approves our application, hopefully soon, again, pending regulatory approval or pending approval by the NASDAQ, our goal in the U.S. is to start having boots on the ground with RIAs, family offices. We're already speaking to issuers and just try to take over that market. So, coming in with force.
Awesome. Thanks, Leah. Really appreciate the time. Congrats on a great quarter.
Thanks so much, Brett. Appreciate it.
We'll take our next question from John Roy with Water Tower Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. You were mentioning, obviously, the 7K staking wallets that you've got recently. Could you give us some more color on Solana Mobile and I believe the new phone that was out recently, the Seeker phone? Some color on that would be wonderful. And then I have a follow-up.
Great. And it's great to have you here. Thank you again. That is squarely a question for you, Max. So tapping Max in here, but it's been just enormous growth because of that partnership with Solana Mobile. So a very exciting partnership indeed. Max, can you shed a little more light?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So, there's an entity, I would say within the Solana ecosystem called Solana Mobile. And it is a phone, the phone is called the Seeker. And, what it really is, it's a phone that really is putting crypto first. And what do I mean by that is that, there's a few problems that the phone solves, but, one of the ones that's really interesting, and I could talk about this firsthand, was, there's kind of a duopoly, within the app stores today between Apple and Google. And, one of the problems that crypto apps faced was, a lot of developers and companies, like big companies would go and try and, put an app in the app store and one of two things would happen. When I say app store there, I mean between Apple and Google. So one of two things would happen there. One, they would get outright rejected. Not all the companies are, but there's plenty of companies that got outright rejected. And two, it's pretty well out there that, Apple and Google take really high fees in terms of digital goods, 30% at times. And, there's been some, famous lawsuits with companies against Apple and Google where the results are favorable towards developers. But Solana really took an approach of, hey, let's go and build a new phone. And, and what they actually did was there's actually a separate app store within the Solana mobile phone called the Seeker. On top of that, there's some really cool security features of it, that I won't get into the technical details of, but, it keeps your private key more secure and things like that. To talk a little higher level, one of the cool things about the Seeker is it had 150,000 pre-orders, which is, a lot of devices. And those phones are really just starting to ship now. And, one of the things the Seeker did was it actually shipped with a wallet. And inside that wallet, The default validator to stake to is the Solana Mobile Validator, which we are now running as part of our new white label validator business, a new vertical that we're running, and that's our second white label validator business. You know, one of the cool things, another cool thing I guess I should say is that, you know, we do make all of our data public in, you know, our Dune dashboard, and if you look at unique wallet staking, it's just been like a straight line up, really because of the impressive work that Solana Mobile did, you know, in terms of just distribution. And, you know, a lot of these phones aren't even shipped yet. In terms of how many there are, I'm not privy to that. How many are shipped versus how many aren't, I'm not privy to that. But, you know, I know of a lot of people that haven't even gotten their phones yet. So, you know, in summary, the Solana Mobile phone is really a phone that's dedicated towards, you know, aspiring crypto businesses and developers that, you know, are looking to keep 100% of their profits and also be able to just get distribution. And, you know, we're really excited that, you know, we also have an app inside the Solana Mobile App Store, you know, for our OrangeFin app as well. So, you know, we're really trying to, you know, we're definitely really excited about it. We support it in two different ways with the running the validator and also having an app in the App Store. So, hopefully that answers your question. It's a very good one. Thank you.
No, that was excellent. As a follow-up, certainly congratulations on going over $1 billion in assets under delegation. I was wondering, you've talked a little bit about the flywheel and how it all relates with acquisitions, et cetera. Do you feel like you will get another level of acceleration if you see more regulatory clarity out of the U.S.? I'm really talking about the Clarify stuff that they're talking about. I don't know if it's going to happen this year or soon, but certainly that seems like that would put the pedal to the metal at that point.
I'll jump in on this one. That's exactly right. And for us who have been in the digital asset space for a while, I mean, this is just a new frontier. We're not used to this and all the different support that we've seen from the SEC and across DC, effectively every regulatory body is helping support crypto companies with regulation and clarity, to your point about the Clarity Act. So that's only helpful for us, especially as we look to grow our base of investors as well as our technology in the United States. So absolutely, we're following DC very closely. Obviously, very close to the ground on SEC approval of stake-sol ETFs and generally how the SEC is engaging with the community on staking, providing more clarity there. As a Canadian issuer, we know what's going on in our background here, in our backyard, but we're just seeing so much opportunity in the U.S. that we also think that cross list on NASDAQ will unlock those opportunities beyond market liquidity. So very much following DC. I was born and raised a Washingtonian, so maybe I couldn't stop myself anyways, but no, it's definitely a new year here, and I think that it's going to only continue. Thank you so much for the question.
Well, thank you. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We'll take our next question from John Todaro with Needham & Company. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on the quarter here. I guess I just wanted to take a step back and go to some of the earlier comments that were made. How do you marry more financial products which benefit the Solana ecosystem and Sol, but then also maybe increases the competition on your part and maybe increases the competition on getting investor interest. How do you just kind of marry the two? And I guess how does that look near term? And then what are your thinking, you know, 3-5 years down the road?
I'll jump in here. John, thank you so much for joining. And great question, because I think it's a two-pronged question, truly. I think it's, you know, that DATCO and differentiating as well as trying to support the new competitors that are out, as well as absolutely supporting the Solana ecosystem. You know, is that also taking away potential clients that would be staking to our validators if we're generally pushing them to potentially other custodians that have a preference towards others? You know, how do we walk that fine line of supporting the ecosystem and being that spokesperson when maybe it doesn't lead to investment specifically for us? And that's, you know, definitely something that I know at least the difficulties of very clearly coming from Valkyrie and being one of the first issuers to launch, you know, structured products in a market with a lot of competitors, whereby I still always believe that a rising tide is what you'll see. And if you're out there educating, it will always be a rising tide by working with collaboration, and there's no downside to education. That's why it's just been remarkable with Larry Fink on TV every day and all the other supporters that we've had teaching about the different blockchains, their differences and what they can and can't do, what they're supporting, what they're not, and why. And this is what matters. But going back to the DAT question, there is definitely a lot of competitors coming out. Now, again, they fall into that first bucket that we've talked about, first or second tier bucket that we talked about of DATs, where you have static holdings, which is tier one, tier two being static holding or holdings that are staked to validators that aren't theirs, thereby only getting one part of the equation of that yield, and then us as a DAT plus plus in the market, who's actually yielding on both sides of the equation while also building tech. So we squarely see ourselves, again, as you can see within the name, as a DAT, but with that plus plus element that just takes us to your question, what's in store for the 3 to 5 years, that takes us there for actually being a very serious staking infrastructure provider, you know, 3 to 5 years from now, that also has the capabilities to acquire our way and build our way into other verticals as the environment changes. And, you know, as mentioned in, you know, earlier today, the DATCo, right, it's a digital asset treasury company. So some people say DAT, some people say DATCos, I'll say DATCo here. But the DATCo space does control and, you know, over $100 billion in digital assets, and there was 15 new entrants in just 30 days is what I just read. So corporate purchases exceeded ETF inflows for the three straight quarters. So we all thought that the ETFs were, you know, creme de la creme of what you were seeing with institutional participation, but it really is this DATCo environment. So, you know, the way that we're trying to support is, again, by pushing the pillars that make Solana important, that we believe in, by open sourcing technology, by building on Solana. We still aim to be first, the first public company to tokenize their stock on Solana. That is still important to us and continuing to build. So be friends out there, yet also very vicious competitors in regards to promoting just our key difference of that plus plus. You know, and that, you know, we actually believe that that model will matter in the future by compounding our treasury organically through the validator rewards.
Great. Thank you for that, Leah. Appreciate the viewpoints and congrats again.
Thank you so much.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question or share a comment, please press the star and one keys on your telephone keypad. We'll take our next question from Kevin Dede with H.C. Wainwright. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Leah. I was wondering if you might talk about the process that you're working through to list in the States, given you've offered so much focus on reg changes in the States versus at the OSA.
Yeah. And it's always great to hear from you, Kevin. So as you know, I can only mention what's public. And that actually, I'm very happy you asked the question because I think there was confusion around some of the events recently. All of the stock consolidation, other things we've done have been very specifically to progress that NASDAQ application listing forward. So we completed the 8-to-1 stock consolidation that was done on August 5th. Again, to meet that NASDAQ price requirement. There's also been progress done on the regulatory and other listing requirements. Our 40F was approved by the SEC. So we're in final stages now of continuing to move forward on NASDAQ for that final approval. You know, and as you can imagine, not just enhanced visibility do we want to the institutional investors as soon as we can access you know, the NASDAQ market. But something very important to me is also to move forward, start speaking to other allocators and issuers to hopefully have inclusion in indexes and thematic ETFs.
And is the validator that you're running for Sol Mobile under that white label umbrella, is the benefit there just that Solana sits on your validator nodes, or is there any sort of software licensing or any sort of affiliated alternative revenue stream that I might be missing?
Yeah, great question. Max, I'll tap you in here, and I think that there's a lot to that that we can speak to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. And thanks for the question. So the validator we're running for Solana Mobile, it's a white label validator. And what I mean by that more specifically is that it is a whole separate validator that is dedicated to Solana Mobile. You know, if you were to look it up on chain, I'm not saying you should, but you know, if you wanted to go to do that, you would see a new validator that's running on the Solana network called the Solana Mobile Validator. The benefit to us specifically is that there's a revenue split, right? And, you know, with the revenue that is generated from the validator, we are getting a portion of that, right? So, you know, like we're doing two things there, you know, so we've built one, like, I do want to talk a little bit about something here. You know, we've spent a lot of time automating our operations so that we can do things like this. And, you know, I think, you know, our team is doing an awesome job in terms of just, you know, building some cutting edge infrastructure to go and do this, right? You know, we've written blog posts that have been well received. We've built open source tools that other validators are using. And then we also have our own proprietary stuff. And, you know, what we talked about here is, you know, we are able to spin up validators for new entities that want to come on and, you know, run a validator just like Solana Mobile did. There might be other businesses out there that want to run a Solana validator, you know, because it is a profitable business if you can scale it out. So specifically to us, the real benefit here is that, you know, as the validator grows, the revenue that we generate, as well as, of course, Solana Mobile, goes up. So I want to be, and just to be like a very clear, it's a new validator, right? So we run four validators on our own that are 100% owned by the company. And then as part of our white label validator, we are now running two validators on behalf of other entities, Solana Mobile and Pudgy Penguins, which is really Pengu, you know, which is their token, you know, and Pudgy Penguins is one of the biggest brands in crypto. They have toys all over Walmart, things like that.
Yeah, so Leah, you talked at length about your M&A perspective, but I guess I'm still a little confused. I'm not sure if you're targeting technology development or if you would look for other Sol treasury companies that might be suffering a discount to NAV and building your accumulated Sol treasury.
There's definitely opportunities across the spectrum, and we're looking at all. So we're most used to the validator acquisitions that we've done in the past, but we're looking across the spectrum at different technologies that have been built in Solana that are very interesting. But I do think we're going to see a lot of consolidation across the market for the various dApps with similar tokens. I also think that you'll likely see consolidation of underperforming dApps and a transfer of the tokens on their balance sheet into tokens of the acquirers, you know, vision and investment thesis. So, you know, looking at all those opportunities very actively right now. Very good question.
You're also holding coins, obviously, other than Solana, such as Sui. And I'm wondering if you're thinking about building some of the technical developments into those chains.
Yeah, good question. So we acquired Sui validators alongside the acquisitions of Orangefin as well as Cogent. So we were running those as just small passive income in the background, but quite nominal amount of income that was generated. There was no concerns around it was effectively the same lift to continue doing so. However, very nominal amount on the notionally nominal amount on the balance sheet, and definitely not a key focus. But we're definitely, to your greater question, I believe, doing a lot more and being more strategic with the Jito Soul and some of the other tokens that we've decided to invest in as investing in the ecosystem. Again, our core treasury is and will always be Soul and staking it to our validators, this DAT++ that we've been hammering on this call. But we are making, if you will, strategic reserve ecosystem asset investments for our balance sheet in projects that we think are of huge opportunity. Max, would you want to talk a little bit more about what we're thinking on the Jito Soul front and a couple of the others and why we started looking and more actively participating?
Yeah, you know, just to talk about the SWE comment you mentioned there, we are running SWE validators, but, our main and sole focus is Solana, right? So I want to make that clear. On Jito Soul and, JTO, we are holding Jito Soul. And to be very, very clear, that is Stake Soul, which we are earning revenue from in really a different way. But, Jito Soul is Stake Soul, and you are earning revenue from that. With Jito Soul itself, it's an algorithmic stake pool. And I know those are like some fancy words there, so I don't want to go like too deep on that. But, one of the things I want to mention on Jito Soul is that we're actually a part of the delegation set with Jito Soul. So Orangefin is the third ranked validator, inside the Jito stake pool. So, a good portion of the funds that, the overall funds of Jito Soul actually get staked to, the Orangefin validator, which is our validator, right? There are some benefits of liquid staking versus native staking, which, I won't necessarily get into on this unless we want to. But the Jito ecosystem is really interesting to us. Also because of BAM, which I mentioned, which was really well received. Jito is really one of the most successful protocols in all of crypto, if not the most successful. And, we were just announced as a launch partner for BAM, which is one of the most exciting developments on Solana. So, we really like Jito. We really like the Jito Soul, the Jito team, and we are holding a small portion of our treasury in Jito Soul.
So while I have you, Max, just one other question. Four own validator nodes and two that you're running under your white label, but I'm just kind of wondering how they're separated and I guess in physical server operation, what kind of redundancy you've got and how that complements the 100% uptime that you were talking about at Lane?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I'll start high level here is that, I want to say we're ISO 27001 certified, SOC 2 certified. And the reason I say that is because, we hold ourselves to high standards and we view those as like the minimum, right? But part of those certifications is uptime and availability. To go a little deeper into that question, every validator, and what I mean by validator is, like when you mentioned those six, you talked about four of our proprietary, two of our white labels. I'm talking about those, when we're talking about validators, but each of those actually have an active and a passive server in a completely different data center across the world, right? So in the event of, like a disaster happens, and there's different types of disasters. One of them is just like, the most obvious one, like your hard drive crashes or something. We could fail over to, the other server and have that validator up within, minutes and, potentially even less, right? So, to really ensure high uptime, the second thing, the second type of disaster we look at is, there's also compliance disasters, right? And, that's another thing we look at, in terms of why we run, validators in different data centers across the world. We have, really what I would consider world-class monitoring, where we have a 24/7 engineering team here across the world, spread out across the world, ready to dive into any incident at any moment. So if it's 3 a.m. for myself, it's 3 p.m. for someone else, and, we're ready to go, as well as, building out automation. Like the cool thing about these is that, You know, one of the benefits of Solana is that it moves really quickly. For our business, it is great because, you know, that's what made Solana successful. But what really actually, you know, makes those upgrades like roll out to the network is validators upgrading. And, you know, with our model, we've actually automated all the upgrades, you know, thanks to the great work of the team. And, you know, we're really able to spend a little time there and really focus on, you know, monitoring and, you know, preventing against all sorts of types of disasters, which, you know, we've seen, you know, just, you know, I've seen in past lives at other companies, like when I worked at Kraken, and even here, you know, where, you know, we, you know, listen, like things come up and things happen and, you know, we have incidents, but, you know, we're ready, we're prepared for really anything. So we're running here a world-class shop. You know, we have redundancy on everything. And, you know, we're prepared for any disaster that might come.
Okay. Thank you, Max. And thanks, Leah. Thanks for having me on the call.
Thank you so much.
And there are no further questions on the line. I'll turn the program back to management for any additional or closing remarks.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us today and also for your continued trust as we execute on this strategy. Looking forward to updating you next quarter as we keep building on this momentum and deliver long-term value for our shareholders. I promise we're all going to be working very hard over here. Have a great day.
This does conclude today's program. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.